Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit Sports, Wellness, and Fitness, and Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. We got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Cameron Gershley, he's a board-certified urologist with the DuPage Medical Group in Illinois. He is returning, along with Michelle Rusk, PhD, mental health, suicide awareness and prevention, author and speaker. Then the Sports Doctor's in. Some emails. First, let's welcome Dr. Cameron to the Sports Doctor. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Give us some background on you, and you can define urology for us with your particular background.
Sure, thanks. So I'm a practicing urologist with DuPage Medical Group, as you mentioned, which is in the suburbs of Chicago. I've been practicing with them for about 8 years now. I'm a general urologist, and as a urologist, I treat both medically and surgically the urinary system. So in some ways, I'm a surgical plumber, but we do a lot of medical work with the urinary system as well.
Everybody identifies sometimes with that definition, you know, you're a medical plumber. Uh-huh. I get it. And again, both men and women, you know, when you were on previously, and such a big topic today is men's health and the challenge of getting men to be checked, to have routine medical follow-up. Women, it seems, in sports podiatry, they're also sometimes a lot more dependable. But that's still a major challenge today is male health awareness, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head that it's often a challenge to get men into the office. And I think part of that is the conception that what we do as urologists is all invasive things. And it's not necessarily, and there's a lot of new things out there that can help men with enlarged prostates and erectile dysfunction and some of those common things that as guys we're not real excited to talk to somebody about, but there's lots of ways that we can help.
I think that's a big point, that the fact that these topics that really weren't discussed, you know, whether it's the prostate health, prostate cancer, rectal exams, erectile dysfunction, all have now become really, really aware in so many different areas. And I would imagine that's a real positive in your world.
Yeah, absolutely. So much of what I deal with are quality of life issues, especially with the urinary system, these guys who are urinating 3, 4, 5 times a night and starting to feel like much of their life revolves around the bathroom. We can help with that. And I think there is, thankfully, more awareness now, but we need even more because we've got lots of good ways to help.
You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, I have experts on from all over the world that talk about the importance of sleep, whether it's for recovery, whether it's for reducing stress, whether it's for getting some good quality rest, and how important it is. And when it's broken up consistently at night, which has always been a aging men's hassle, it becomes a difficult situation because the lack of sleep seems to affect everything. I don't care what your vocation or your area in life is. And you guys have been very excited about that procedure, the UroLift. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So to back up just a little bit, Bob, as aging adults, getting up more at night is a part of aging. Typically once or twice a night is considered normal, but beyond twice a night is abnormal, and that's when it's definitely worth getting checked out. As far as treating enlarged prostate, and as one of the most common things that causes guys to get up at night to go, the UroLift procedure is something that we've been excited about as urologists. So basically, it's a procedure that can be done in the office. It takes about 10 minutes, and it essentially uses stitches to open the prostate to reduce the obstruction to allow the urine to flow more easily so that guys can urinate more efficiently again, sleep better,
yeah,
and
great commercial.
Spend less time in the bathroom.
Yeah, you guys have a great commercial on television, you know, where they're turning on and off like a fire hose, and they're talking about the a possible effectiveness. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. Who was on? What were the topics? You can listen to whatever you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read an unending array of topics from what's the best shoe to concussions to all areas of our new exciting MVP Parent magazine. So many different great areas of information. We have over 35,000 followers on Twitter. We have a lot of great information besides just the radio show stuff at docradio.com. We're talking with Dr. Cameron Gershley, a board-certified urologist. We were talking about one of the new procedures that could really, really make such a big difference. Like you said, you deal so much with quality of life. You know, last time we talked about the whole area of youth sports and sports and the importance of protection and genital protection. I'm hoping we're improving in this area. Could you do you think so? Or is there still so much more to get across that these young boys should be have protection, general protection?
I think and hope that there is more awareness. Obviously, as boys versus girls, boys are much more vulnerable to injury, just the way that we're designed. And so any contact sport for young boys, basically as long as they're big enough to fit into the smallest cup, they should be wearing it if they're in a contact sport where there's a risk of genital injury. Yeah, that's a great point, Bob.
Now, in the running, jumping sports of any type, I'll call you Dr. Cameron, Dr. Bob, because we know any sport, give and take, against for a young boy, a jockstrap makes really good sense for support without any cup at all. Do you believe that the routine from adolescence up, it should be, if you want to play a sport, you should be in an athletic jockstrap?
I think support is important. There's lots of options out there now, things like compression shorts, and I think the supportive brief type underwear are much better than they used to be. So you don't necessarily have to have a jockstrap if we're not worried about contact injuries, but absolutely, support is key for all the running and jumping sports, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there, which is, again, there's been so much innovation in the ability to replace comfortably the good old jock in any instances. So I think that that's a great situation. Being able to deal again with the discussion of some of these lifetime issues and getting very involved, like when we were talking about, you know, a lot of emphasis with women, kidney stones is a big problem for both populations, isn't it?
It is. Unfortunately, I think as a whole, we tend to not drink enough water in general, and many folks end up relying more on the caffeinated drinks, and certainly that gets back to maybe not having the best night's sleep. And those caffeinated drinks ultimately dehydrate us, even though we're urinating more. And so we do see a lot of kidney stones, unfortunately, and it's a pretty even split now between men and women. So it's a very common and very painful problem.
You know, it's interesting because the awareness, again, of being well hydrated or drinking enough water and other kind of dietary changes that probably could be, like everything else, make such a difference, you know, when it comes to the world of preventing problems instead of dealing with them after. Again, kidney specialists in ways, the explosion of diabetes in our population, which is so alarming. I would imagine has made a big difference in some of the kidney issues that you guys see.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, unfortunately, diabetes is a risk factor for lots of the things that I see, like kidney stones, kidney infections. And so certainly watching our diet and folks who already have diabetes trying to really keep their sugars well controlled is key for their long-term health and longevity.
You know, it's aggravating that adult onset diabetes, which was type 2 diabetes, we had to rename it because all of a sudden there were 12, 13, 14-year-olds everywhere you looked becoming diabetic. Again, you know, I've spoken on the Sports Doctor for, I don't know, 25 years, give or take a few weeks, about obesity, childhood obesity, and the whole nightmare that obesity brings along with it. And again, the diabetes, which is so related in many ways to that. On the one hand, we've made so much progress in the awareness, and on the other hand, we're treading water in that regard. Well, how has the whole COVID and epidemic world, pandemic world, affected the world of medicine as you see it?
Not that much for me, Bob, just because a lot of what we do can't wait. We see quite a bit of urgent issues and painful things like kidney stones. And so we've made changes, of course, to see people safely and take all the necessary precautions. But really, we've continued to treat people as best we can, basically throughout the pandemic.
You know, it's really great to see them become a big part of it. You know, the whole world of telemedicine and that whole scenario has really been a tremendous weapon to be able to take advantage when people couldn't come in, maybe they didn't have acute conditions. DuPage Medical Group, what's their website with all the different specialties, including yours?
Just www.dupagemedicalgroup.com. And it is a very large group now. There's over 800 doctors with almost every specialty and subspecialty represented, and we're throughout much of the Chicagoland area now. So it's a great resource in this area.
Yeah, especially with the everybody being in such a hurry to get back into activity. When do you find men should start paying attention to prostate examination roughly? Is it in the 40s? What are the recommendations for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it really depends on family history. So if a man has a first-degree relative, so either a dad or brother with prostate cancer, then they should start seeing, they should start being screened, whether by someone like me or their family doctor, in their 40s. So right around age 40 is a good place to start. With no family history, it's typically around age 50. And that's when we start to see more of the age-related changes, also the increase in prostate size, sometimes low testosterone. And so around age 50 is important to start being screened if you have no family history of prostate cancer.
Yes, and of course, prostate cancer is a gigantic problem still. I don't know where it ranks, but it's truly one of our most common cancers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. And even with all of our advances in medicine, almost 30,000 men still die every year in this country from prostate cancer. And it's such a treatable disease that with appropriate screening, we should be able to save more lives. And historically, we over-treated prostate cancer. And so there's been a big shift as urologists into how can we be more selective in who we treat? Because almost two-thirds of prostate cancer grow so slowly they won't hurt you, but about a third of them are still dangerous and can still spread and shorten your life. So it's still really important to screen regularly.
Yes, that's one of the biggest reasons why we include you in the Sports Doctor mix, is this constant reminder of how important this prevention is, how successful treatment is if caught sensibly, you know, at the right time, and letting the population know about And, you know, especially today where you can't turn on your television, you know, one of the biggest pet peeves on the sports doctor, Dr. Cameron, is, you know, United States is only one of two countries in the world that even allows television advertising drugs and supplements. And you can't go a day without hearing something constantly about, you know, prostate supplements and all these different medicines over the counter. And I'm sure that's got to be plenty of a headache for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and most of the over-the-counter prostate supplements, I typically tell people to save their money. They're usually not very effective. But I agree that direct-to-consumer medical advertising really needs to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's interesting how the, in some ways, generic and, again, dramatically advertised ED medications and supplements and whatever, sometimes it concerns me that we would have men not consulting, for example, with urology before they start playing around with online doctors and whatever in that world. What would you think?
Yeah, no, I think you make a great point. Erectile dysfunction is also a very common thing. It's a frustrating thing, something that guys aren't excited to talk to someone about, but it's something that I talk to guys about every day, and we can help. It's really important to remember, though, that erectile dysfunction can be a sign of some other underlying disease,
yeah,
whether it's vascular disease.
You got to square it up. I got to cut you off. Give me quickly the website again at DuPage Medical Group.
It's DuPageMedicalGroup.com. It's pretty easy.
Dr. Cameron Gershley, thank you so much for coming back. Absolutely. We'll look forward to having you back sometime in the future. Hold on, Cameron. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. Live, welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. And welcome Michelle Rusk, PhD in mental health, suicide awareness and prevention, author and speaker. And I think she's a former patient of mine. Michelle, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. And I am. That's how we know each other.
I thought, you know, we'd lead right into you giving a little bit of background on you and I and your story.
Sure. Well, I don't know exactly how old I was, and I was in high school. when I started to see you. I know I bruised a heel at some point. I was already in orthotics, and somebody not as close to Naperville had done those. So I just remember we didn't know about you yet. But I have to tell you that the memory that I have is when I graduated from high school, you and Dr. Vickery, the sports psychologist, had a radio show. And I remember, I don't think you had me on it, but I remember you talked about me. And yes. The one thing that one of you said was that because I'd chosen a small school to run at, that I was going to go be the big fish in the little pond. And that didn't last long. I really wanted to be the little fish in the big pond. And so I think of that often because I'm constantly, as you know, which I'm sure we'll talk about, is I'm someone who's forging forward to do more things. And so that has always resonated with me all those years when you talked about
that.
Yeah,
I thought you might have been, could have been junior high school. I think you were running cross country. You were running.
Yes.
And I think you're in the same orthotics that you ran in yesterday that we put you in right at that point in time. And, of course, then your story took a dramatic turn, didn't it?
Yes. Well, when I was a junior in college, I lost my sister Denise to suicide, and you actually knew her as well because you put her in orthotics,
yes.
And which may actually be the confusion over when you met us because she would have been a little bit younger than me, and you knew my mom as well, and both of them have died. So I lost my sister Denise to suicide. She was 17, 2 weeks from turning 18, and she was a senior in high school, and she'd been coping with bulimia, had a previous suicide attempt, and also had been date raped, which most of us didn't know at the time. And so that obviously set off a whole, it set my life on a different journey, although I don't think it was a journey that was supposed to like be there forever. It was just, sometimes we have to learn things and do things to get where we really want to be.
It was your PhD journey, where you would become a wonderful advocate. You decided to really make a difference. And this whole world, again, of awareness as well as prevention, you made a big deal out of the family's involvement in all of it. You became a champion in so many ways, spreading the word. Matter of fact, the picture I have of you in my office where you're running, what Olympics was that where you're running with the torch?
It's Salt Lake, 2002,
right.
Salt Lake Winter Olympics.
Right, holy cow. And, as part of my wall of champions. But the reason that you were carrying the torch wasn't because you were necessarily such a great runner. It was because all of these differences you've made in people's lives, including that incredible book that you wrote that I think you redid, Do They Have Bad Days in Heaven. Did I get that title right?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And people often say to me, they like to give me Bible verses and things and say that's not possible or I hope not. And what really the title stemmed from are the things that you question after you have a loss. I mean, I was 21 years old when my sister ended her life, and you're in the cusp of being an adult and going out in the world, and you have all these hopes and dreams, and suddenly it's bam.
I remember you telling me about that title, and you knew that the title was going to be a conversation stirrer, and it absolutely really, really has been. How have you found over all of these years? How long that was Denise? How long is she gone?
28 years, if you can believe that.
And the fact, what kind of changes have you seen in so many areas? It seems, you know, again, I think it's suicide prevention week or month. Am I right?
We are almost there on September.
Almost there.
It's all in September. So your timing was perfect because me, it's like, it's better to get started before September.
Big time. I mean, COVID and the pandemic.
Right.
And what we've seen, every guest I've had on from wherever they are in the world, Michelle, and whatever their vocation or profession is, has talked about mental health and what a big deal, how important from A to Z mental health has been Now, I know you're a designer of clothes and you're on the side of your world, but what's been your perception of some of these gigantic mental health awareness and challenges as you see it?
Well, one of the things, because I was speaking on it for so long, I traveled the world, I've written other books, so I had a lot of it. I was president of the American Association of Suicidology. I got a PhD in family studies. So, I mean, I talked to a lot of people, did a lot of work. And even before we hit the pandemic, there were, you know, we were actually starting to make some headway into it, but then we kind of plateaued, and I think the field to me got a little stagnant in terms of what
the word itself, Michelle, you said, what did you say? Suicidology?
Yes, that is the study of suicide.
Yes, that's an amazing word. I know I've heard it, but you know, that whole, the topic of it, I'll bet you is a surprise to a lot of people. And, you know, the young ages and these different kinds of conditions. Like you said, it's become a little stagnant. Now, this tremendous exposure of the mental world, like Simone Biles and the Olympics. And you'd be amazed, Michelle, the week before the Olympics, I had Biles, forever Olympics mental coach, Rob Andrews, was on the show with me. And, you know, this incredible explosion of the whole mental awareness, and suicide continues to be a gigantic problem, isn't it?
It is, and there's two things that I saw then that I'm seeing now, and it's exaggerates, not that, you know, the word. Explosion. You're using the word explosion. That's really, it's because people didn't talk about so many things, and one of those is we have not taught people how to cope. You look at the things that people deal with. I mean, life is not perfect, but generally things were really good for a long time in our country. I mean, you look at what's happening in other countries on a daily basis, and things are really good here. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's life is great, because we all have struggles, and that's just part of life, but people don't know how to cope. And
no, they're all stress balls. We call it on the sports doctor, the mental game. Whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you're their coaches, whether you're the athlete themselves, whether you're trying to stick with your diet program, whether you're trying to make the Olympics, whether you're whatever it is, it's all mental, or so much of it is. And you mentioned the late Dr. Jim Vickery. I'm so glad you did. Dr. Vickery, this mental genius, over the years, not only that, I was an exercise physiologist, and he shared the radio with me at College of DuPage for about 3-4 years in the 90s. And he wrote a book called Mind Golf.
Yes, I have it. And, I found a copy of it somewhere.
And he was taking part in our the baseball camps with Bob Guida and Eric Soderholm, and he had so many great things. But my point was, he wasn't a sports psychologist, because the word scared teens, it scared people. He was a performance enhancement consultant.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
So we're still in that bind, and I think you make such a big point, you know, people who need to learn continually with such stress balls. 24/7 we're bombarded with
right.
everything times 100. Can people go to your website and learn how to cope?
You know, I blog every week, and I try to always write.
How do they get that blog?
That's it's at Shell. It's www. It's dot, and it's Shell Summer. I'll spell it Shelle, and then summer, the season we are in. .com. So Shelle summer.com, and I blog every week, and it's amazing that I'll write a blog, because something will occur to me, or I'll be like struggling with something myself, and then somebody always comments on like Facebook or Instagram, like, oh my gosh, I was struggling with that today.
You know, the ability to talk more about what's important, or what bothers people, or this tremendous awareness with Simone Biles again, telling people it's okay to not be okay, and to be able to take advantage of help. And the stigma, which is still, you know, very right. much with us, where people are, you know, we just can't talk about it, and people don't pay enough attention to it, really seems to still be a problem. But in the world of that so-called suicidology, have you found that medicine general health practitioners are paying more and more attention to awareness and prevention?
Yes, absolutely. And they're having a lot of it's we have to train people better how to. And one thing that I did for years and years and years was I trained people how to ask the question, they were worried about somebody and what to do. And we are so afraid to ask the question because we're afraid somebody's going to say yes. But we need to ask the question because that's how we help people.
You know, it's interesting. Again, we're talking the mental game here. Michelle Rusk, PhD, a specialist in all things mental health dash suicide awareness and prevention, and talking about, you know, the mental game, learning how to cope, being able to train systems. And this is, you could be talking sports performance and high performance to great athletes about the importance of these kinds of attitudes. Absolutely at the same time. That's what Vickery did. Do you
right.
see it that way also, Michelle?
Absolutely. Everything that I talk about coping and balance is the other thing, is we've done a horrible job with balancing our lives, stems from what I learned from him and, you know, in running and what I taught myself and, you know, in a field that was very small in those days. I mean, you know, like you said, he couldn't use the term sports psychologist. I mean, but nobody talked about the mental game. And I'm so grateful because I never had the running career I should have had because I was a stress ball back then. But I learned so much. The life skills that I learned, I have, been able to use in the rest of my life to accomplish everything that I have now, to cope with the loss of my sister, to cope with the losses of both my parents after that, to cope with a first marriage that ended because my first husband had a head injury from a drunk driver. I mean, I have been able to use all those life skills, and that's, like I said,
that
that's
one of the things that Vickery, Dr. Vickery made very, very famous, the fact that you could train these systems. We're going to talk more about all of it with Michelle Rusk, PhD. We will be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We are talking with Michelle Rusk, PhD, really mental health specialist, and we're talking the gamut from the suicide awareness and prevention, her own personal story, to high performance, high achievement, and the tremendous upside of the mental game we were just talking about. And, you seem to have applied an exciting, positive part to some of these things that you've been dealing with all these years. You're into fashion and garments, aren't you?
It's, you know, because you know that I don't just do one thing. And I have this whole piece of making clothes and handbags and reusing, you know, a lot of retro, you know, I find things at estate sales, fabrics that have never been used, or being able to reuse the fun patterns and prints and, you know, patio cushions in a handbag. That's what I have, what I'm carrying these days. And that, to me, is the balance to when you know, I haven't been doing as much work in the suicide, the mental health piece. I would like to. It just, you know, it's been a pandemic. So, you know, nothing's been what we want it to be or what we think it's going to be. But when I started to move toward that because I found that it was a good balance, the creation. And the other piece for me is that as a writer, it takes so long to create a book, but it's, you know, I can make dinner because I do like a lot of cooking.
But
too.
You're pretty
I can
fast make dinner, with a, it's you're right pretty there. Fast with a handbag, right?
Yes, I am.
Right. It's you know, some of those very, very cool outfits, like a big creative side compared to what you're doing. Again, if people look good, they feel good, right? And that's definitely got to be a connection with you. Is that the same or a different website that people can find out about your fashion?
It's all together. Shellsummer.com. It's Michelle without the M-I. C-H-E-L-L-E and then Summer, S-U-M-M-E-R, season.com. It's all there. And I think, too, people are so afraid of color. And they're afraid to wear color. But people compliment me all the time. It's like, don't be afraid. You'd be much happier.
Hey, just what you need. It's something else you have to educate them about. Right?
I know.
Something as simple as the, how much running are you still doing?
I run about just under 6 miles a day, but I am like a jar of molasses. I'm stuck in low gear.
Are you running every day?
Yes. I run my dogs separately. And then I go out it's about 2.75 miles.
Why? I got to get you as my commercial.
And then I swim in the afternoons.
What's the date on the bottom of your orthotics, Michelle? Do you have them in front of you?
No. Is there really? Well, they've been recovered. So would there be a date?
It would be the last number on the bottom of the orthotic, on the bottom of the plastic.
I don't. Well, they were.
I know. You'll send it to me. Absolutely, yes. Because it's going to be.
I only could see. You know what? Couldn't the number have worn off by now?
I've had people where it said 1979. We were able to see it. Now again,
I'm going to say 86.
Right. The fact that you again add exercise activity in this balance. You know, that you're talking about, I think is one of the important lessons we can learn from listening to you and, you know, watching what you feel is important in the whole area of balance, because we're so stressed out and there's so much pressure on all of us, times 100 now with the pandemic.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the other thing that I do is every 3 weeks I go for acupuncture, and I have a woman, she was a doctor in China, and I had fibroids in my uterus and had to have them removed. And she told me they were caused by stress, and I can actually pretty much pinpoint they started when my first marriage was crumbling because of that head injury that my first husband had. So she tells me all the time, she goes, you are too young to be this stressed. So I go every 3 weeks, and even if I feel okay, you know, she puts me back in line. So
yeah, I've had a colleague. Dr. Jing Li, who's been in my office 20 years. Again, Chinese MD, specializes in acupuncture. The sports doctor, we talk about all sorts of holistic ways, again, to stay healthy, to prevent problems, reducing
cupping
stress.
Too.
We're very, very, very big massage and soft tissue, you know, therapy person. But you know, we don't want to say you're a little addictive running 7 days a week. I got to make sure that you are following the two basic exercises in the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, which is number one, strengthen those feet and ankles. You remember that. And number two, work balance, strengthen all those stabilizers, you know, with who knows how many tons of pressure that you apply. That much running, but I know that's right. You're a big dog person. Do you have German Shepherds?
Yes, I'm on my third one. She's following me right now.
She got her eye on you. Yes, you know that's absolutely for sure. When you were, what did it feel like to run by the way, with the Olympic torch. When was that?
It was in 2002, and it was pretty incredible to have that opportunity. My sister, Karen, my older sister, her partner, the then partner, had nominated me for my work around suicide. And I also had had, I had spent a summer at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs doing my journalism internship with USA Boxing. So, and then I went to work the 96 Olympics. And the other part is that Denise and I, my sister who died, we had a long history of watching the Olympics together. And so Olympics was always really important. And when I carried the torch, that was just an incredible day. And the other thing was that the man who carried, who handed the torch off to me, Pat Porter, was an 84 Olympian, and I think high jump, and he actually was killed several years ago in a plane crash. And so I, you know, whenever that, that usually comes up in the summertime, because that happened here, because I carried the torch here in Albuquerque, and, you know, when the Olympics comes up, I think of him as well.
Yeah, and the Olympics are such a big deal. Even with the chaos and craziness and no fans and everything.
But you know what? This is the way I see it.
It was so exciting to see.
You take the fans away. It's not a bad thing, because you should be running for what's inside you, not for all this that's, you know, happening around you. So I thought that when we weren't able to have, you know, it's not that I'm not against fans. I love having fans. You know, it's fun. But for all these sports people, this was an opportunity to dig inside and be like, okay, why do I really do this? I mean, I hate the pandemic. It sucks, for lack of a better word. But it has been an opportunity for people to really dig inside and be like, what kind of, you know, it's an opportunity to change changes in your life. I mean, people could go and exercise when they didn't have time to do it before, to eat, you know, to cook more and make changes. And
yeah,
it was the same with athletes.
But as a spectator. As a spectator, even the incredible job TV does in covering the Olympics, as a spectator, where there's nobody there, it was just bizarre. But
it was
at the
bizarre.
Same time, it's the Olympics. And
right.
There were so many fantastic stories. And again, the mental health was number one. If Simone Biles won 25 more medals by herself, she would not have come anywhere near the notoriety that she received for what she went through, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just happened to play out like it did. I mean,
yes. You know, the unbelievable timing and, you know, the whole vestibular and spinning and, you know, my world of figure skating, whatever, it's such a big deal. But I had never heard the term twisties. Made an awful lot of sense when you thought about, you know, can you imagine doing a triple jump and you're not, all of a sudden, you're not really aware of where you are? Whoa.
And I mean, I've never been able to conceive going off a diving board or a platform and spinning in the air. I mean, there must be twisting. It's the same thing. I mean, I have done
yes,
an uneven
that's what well, made Jim Vickery famous, visualization. I can't believe we're out of time.
Yes.
Michelle, give me the, again, Michelle Rusk, PhD, the title of your book, Do They Have Bad Days in Heaven? Give me the website quickly, Michelle.
It's www.shellsummer, C-H-E-L-L-E, summer, like the season, .com.
Fab. Fantastic. Michelle, thank you so much. Hold on. I'm going to catch you. It's the Sports Doc. We'll be back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website. GlobalSchoolWear.com. GlobalSchoolWear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. Go to my website, SportsDoctorRadio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years, who was on, what were the topics, you could listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an endless array of articles on so many different topics in sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, as well as areas you can go read about orthotics, you can read about some other great stuff that we're doing with Lower Extremity Review magazine, as well as the new and exciting MVP Parent Magazine. We want to preview of some upcoming shows, answer a few emails on the Sports Doctors In segment. If you email me, drrwilesportsdoctor@yahoo.com, we'll answer your question. Next week, Dr. O'Brien, MD, is a physician, really a futuristic medicine, improvements that can be made in so many areas of health and wellness. He'll be joining us along with Vijay Stanley and Balanced Excellence. Talks a lot about, he's been on before, children's sports, the relationships with the parents and coaches, and that whole balance, as we talked about. Following week, my son Adam is going to come on. He's the CEO of Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. And he's going to talk about the important role that school uniforms play in so many different aspects of the whole school experience for these kids. And then Michael Warich, he's going to talk about the whole world of soccer, soccer organizations, soccer safety. That's what's coming up. A couple of emails. Ian says, both my sons, 11 and 14 years old, play numerous sports. You talk a lot about the two basic exercise concepts. Great question, Ian. In the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, one of my chapters is on two essential exercises, not the only two, and not replacing everything, but two we want to include big time. One, strengthen your feet and ankles. Rubber bands is a great way to do it. Whether you're a six-year-old or the best athlete in the country, you can be challenged and benefit from rubber band exercises once you know some decent technique. strengthening those feet and ankles. Ankles are still the most commonly injured area. And anything you do involving running, jumping, changing direction, you will strengthen. Also, work balance. Think of balancing on a mini tram. Think of balancing on a BOSU board or the sand dune stepper or tilt boards. Every time you create instability, I talked about one of its godfathers, Bob Guida, a couple of weeks ago on the Sports Doctor. I think he was on the 18th. And every great athlete he worked with, he would work with creating instability and therefore demanding all the stabilizers of the body to go to work. And this is something, those are the two basic exercise concepts. Strengthen your feet and ankles, work balance. Tom says, my mom is 65 years old. She's a very avid walker. She keeps complaining that her feet are bothering her, and she is interested either in different shoes, over-the-counter inserts, possible orthotics. You know, Tom, again, orthotics are the gold program. Custom orthotics are the gold program, where your mom's feet individually are put in proper alignment. By molds or scans that are taken of the feet. So to me, when done properly, that's the gold program. Some over-the-counter insults, things like Dr. Scholl's Superfeet, there are some very good over-the-counter insults, but they're generic. They're not prescription. So if we see we want to try something like that, the proper shoe is a key. We want to make sure that your mom at a good walking shoe store sit properly and that they have some good criteria on what type of shoe, motion control, stability shoe would be best. That's no different if we were talking about you getting, number one, fit properly, and number two, being in a shoe that has some good properties for your foot mechanics. Jerry says, I'm 40 years old. I'm diagnosed with tarsal tunnel. Is this always a surgical problem? Well, tarsal tunnel, Jerry, is an entrapment of one of the major nerves that runs down the inside of the ankle into the foot. And there's a channel and a tendon, posterior tibial tendon, which runs along the same route. On occasion, imagine an excessively flat, pronated foot that's stretching and pulling on all the structures on the inside of the ankle. We can aggravate, we can scar, we can thicken that root. Sometimes it's a surgical problem, but often it is a mechanical one. If we go into the proper orthotic, it's physical therapy and strengthen the area, which is important anyway, even if surgery had to be done. We've got to control the motion that was pertinent to causing it. Carpal tunnel, a much more commonly heard term, is when we're doing the same kind of inflammation, thickening, abuse in those nerves in our wrist, and they start getting in the way, causing trouble. Symptoms of tarsal tunnel could be shooting pains, could be sharpness, and discomfort with any type of activity. So, you know, check out conservative options, Jerry. Everybody, hey, it's been a great show. Look forward to seeing you all next week. Everybody, please stay safe. Get vaccinated. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.